Hey everybody, this is J.R. Bell from My Got Your Six Podcast and Red Pill University. This is another series and lessons that you need to know. Hey, remember, grab your notebook. You need to do that. You should start writing down some hidden gems. Remember, write this down. I am the prize. I am the golden ticket. Like Charlie, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I am the golden ticket. There's no one better than me. I am the most good-looking person. Yes, write all that down. That's what you are. That's your affirmation right there. You are the most good-looking person. Let me tell you the reason why I say that, because we're going to dig right in. Sometimes I will give you something motivation. Nah, no motivation. The most motivating thing you are is that you are watching, you are listening to my podcast. That's motivation enough. Allow me to tell you something that's going to enrich you. Listen, to be successful and become a high-value person, you need to do two things. Like I told you in my last podcast and my other episodes, you need to get yourself together. Become the better person. Live that good lifestyle. Dress the part. Yes, dress the part. You need to have faith in yourself. You're successful. Yes, dress the part. Look good, smell good. All right, I want you to do that. All right, because I need you to understand that that's the reason why you got to do that. It's because I want you to know that you are the person that you need to do. Okay? You are the person. There's no one better than you. You are the most high value person in life. Okay? You are the high value person. Okay? There's nothing higher value than you. Nothing more precious than you. You're the prize. When a person's looking for you, that's what they're looking for, is you. You are the high value, okay? Let's look at something. Let's look at logic, okay? And a sea full of women, or a sea full of men, or a sea full of non-binary person, or a sea full of the LGBTQ plus IA, I think that's right. There's someone out there that is just for you, and you're looking for that person, okay? So, and you need to find that person, because that person is for you. In order to find that person, because there's not, see, you got to find a person that can put up with you, put up with your attitude, put up with your antics, put up with your emotions, put up with your silliness. I'll give you a good example. I'm going to tell you of silliness. I'm the type of person, I like to know people. I get to hang out with people. I wouldn't call them my friends. I would call them my associates or my acquaintances. Because not everybody can be, see, to be a friend of mine, you have to earn that right. And to be a good friend of mine, you have to be a friend, you have to earn it, and it's a privilege. I do say that, it's a privilege. It's one of those privileges that I don't take lightly. You know, I kind of say I don't take that lightly, to be a good friend. It's a respect, and it's something that you have to earn. And I mean, seriously, you have to earn that right to be a friend. To be considered called friend. And if I call you my friend, that means if I'm in trouble and I need some help, I should be able to call you. Vice versa. You know, so I knew, you know, that's how I know about how certain things are. So like I was saying, I knew this person. And he was pretty cool. He was laid back, real chill. He just got this girl. He just started dating this girl. They were dating and stuff. So one day, they weren't like, what do you call it, exclusivity. They were just dating. He was dating her, she was dating him. And so they both had a mutual understanding about each other. They both understood each other, you know, about how, in order for them to be exclusive, she had to give up some things and he had to give up some things. But he wasn't giving up anything just yet. And he was like, well, not yet. Not yet. I'm not ready yet. And he wasn't ready yet because he was honest. He says, I'm not ready yet. I'm still ready. I'm not ready to settle down or anything and stuff. He said, I'm not just ready yet. And she understood that. And she was like, okay, I know you're not ready to settle down. Okay, so we're good. So when you're ready, you need to let me know. Okay? Well, he was never ready. Until one day, he realized one day, that's when he knew he was ready. Because one day he got real sick. He got a touch of walking pneumonia. He went, because he works in a, he works in this one place where he goes in and out of cold room. He goes from a warm room to a cold room. Warm room to a cold room, back and forth, grabbing stuff. So he ended up, you know, so he walked out, and it was like a freezer. You know, it was like really, really cold. And he walked out of there, and he walked into the warmthness of the warm air. And then he walked back in to get something, and he kept doing it. Everybody, and he had a jacket on too. And he got sick. So he had to take a couple days off because he had to recuperate. So he was at home. He called her and he told her. He said, "Hey, don't come over. I got a touch of walking pneumonia, I think. I got some antibiotics the doctor gave me. So I'm a little bit, you know, under the weather. So I'm a little sorry. So you really don't need to come over. You know, I'm a little sick." And she said, "Okay." She sat there and she made some homemade chicken noodle soup. She made chicken noodle soup, homemade, from scratch, not from the can. She brought all the ingredients over and she sat there at his house and made him a big pot of it. She made him a big pot. And she brought it to him. He was sitting there and he was like, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm about to cook you something." He says, "I don't think I can eat anything. She says, "Well, I called your mom. I got a hold of your mom, and your mom gave me her recipe for chicken noodle soup, so I'm going to make you some chicken noodle soup." And she made it. It was really good. He said it was really, really good. He said it tasted like his mom's. It did. It tasted like his mom's. And he said he was such in awe of how well it tasted that he was like, "Oh, it was so good." He was impressed on how well it tasted. And he said it was so good. He said it was so good. And he said it was really good. And he was like, "Oh my God, it tastes like my mom's. I got it from your mom's recipe. Your mom gave me her recipe. And I wrote it down. And then she walked me through it. And so that's why you got your soup." And he was like shocked that she did that. And he was like, "Wow." And then she got some Vicks VapoRub. She went and got some Vicks VapoRub and rubbed him down. And then she told him, "Layer up." And then she made him a hot toddy. She said, "I called your grandmother. I called your grandmother. And your grandmother told me, your mom said for me to call your grandmother, which is her mom. I did, and she said to make a hot toddy. So I made this in there." And she sat there and she spent the night. It was on a Friday. She had the weekend off, so spent the night. She spent the night there. And she stayed there, taking care of him. And they're not exclusive. And she could have went out kicking it, but she didn't. She stayed there. That next day, that Saturday morning, she was still there. She was in there doing dishes. His dishes. And she goes, and she said, "How do you feel? Good?" He's like, "Good." She said, "Get up. Your mom said, take all your blankets, everything." Yeah, she grabbed everything. "Gotta wash it. Because she said whatever that you had could be in the blankets and sheets and everything. So we gotta wash all that." So he washed, took everything to the laundry room, washed everything. And then she turned around and she was like, "Okay, well, I gotta go." She left. She made sure he was okay and she left. And he told her, "Thank you." She's like, "You're welcome. Make sure you're better. Good. We good." Left. This is how he knew. I mean, she didn't too much, you know, she was just being, you know, she was just taking care because she knew that, you know, he needed some help. Turned around. She turned around and she literally, she literally was like, wow. She was like, wow. You know, she looked at his place. And he, I mean, his place wasn't, it was like a man's kind of place. It was like a bachelor's plan place, you know. And she didn't realize that when she spent the night over, she had her toothbrush that she brought over, her to-go toothbrush, was still there. She was like, wow, my toothbrush is still there. She didn't even notice. She didn't even know. She was just in awe that her toothbrush was still there. She was like, impressed. She thought that he would throw it away, you know, because it was just a toothbrush. She looked over and saw the toothbrush. And saw that she had a loofah, one of those loofah balls, puff balls. It was still there. It wasn't thrown away. She still had it. He still had it. Just sitting there. And she was like, wow, it's still there. It impressed her that her stuff was still there. It really impressed her. She was like, wow, my toothbrush is still here. My loofah, wow. And the body wash that he bought me. My body wash is still, because she brought her own body wash. And she actually left it there by accident. Most guys would throw that stuff away. Nah, he kept it and left it there. You know, she turns around. She was in awe. So to be honest with you, she was shocked, impressed. She didn't know what to do. She was just like really kind of like, wow. I could not believe what I just saw and what I just witnessed. And it... And what she witnessed, she was like really impressed. It impressed her that he still had her things. You know, most people would, those things would be in the trash. You know, because they're not exclusive. But he just kept them because he was like, when she asked him, he said, they're not mine, they're yours. You need to come, whenever you come over, you need to get those things. If you want them, get them, they'll just stay there. And she's like, wow. And it really surprised her. It really surprised her. And then what really surprised her was when she spent the night, her dirty clothes, he washed and folded and stuck them in his drawer. Her set that she wore, because she had a change of clothes, she had an accident. And she left her, and she threw her dirty clothes in the laundry, and he washed them and put them in his drawer and left them there nice and neatly. He could have folded them up and just put them in a bag and said, hey, you left your clothes here, I washed them. Nope, he put them in his drawer and left them there. She just was in awe about that. It kind of really made her feel like she was important. The reason why I'm telling you that is because they weren't exclusive. They slowly, truly grew to love each other. They respected each other. They grew. He finally realized he was in love with her. He was in love with her because little things that she did made him appreciate her more. Like, she called his mother. Who does that? Unless that's your girlfriend or your wife. Calls mom. Calls his grandmother. Only a girlfriend or wife. Or fiance. Those are the type that does stuff like that. Just some girl that's not exclusive. Yeah, they don't do that. But she did. Because she wanted to just... Because he wasn't feeling well. And she wanted to help him. So that's what she did. You know. And that's what she did. And it shocked him. It shocked him, but also shocked, you know, didn't shock her. But just like that, it didn't bother. And he was impressed. And what really impressed her about him was they're not that exclusive, but they're exclusive. Like one day, she literally was in her car driving. And she literally was in her car and she was going to a date. She was going somewhere on a date. She was going to go meet a guy that, you know, because they weren't exclusive. They were just talking, you know, just seeing each other, but not, you know, they can date other people. So she literally was seeing other people, and she was driving her car, and her car stalled. Her car died. Her car just shut off. Everything went black. She was sitting there and went black. I mean, she pulled over. She grabbed her cell phone, and the only person she could think of was, she called him. She was like, hey, I hate to bother you. My car just died. I don't know. It won't do nothing. I mean, my car just dead. Dead as a doornail. And he's like, do me a favor. Open your car door. Is your dome lights on? No. Turn your switches to everything. She said, nothing. All right, I know what's wrong. I'll be over there. I got jumper cables. So he comes over and he brings jumper cables. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm going to tell you in just a second. Give me a minute. And she goes, okay. So she looks. She tells him, he tells her, he goes, your connectors to your battery is corroded. She says, what do you mean? They're corroded. Let me show you. They're all nasty looking. Take a look at that. And he showed her. They're real nasty. And he says, that's what I mean. They're nasty. You need to get that cleaned. And I clean it. And he took it off and he cleaned it. And he says, that's what the problem is. It's all corrosive and dirty and it looks nasty. But I'm going to fix that. So he sat there and he scrubbed it and he cleaned it. And he says, and your battery is dead. And he says, it's completely dead. She's like, really? He said, yes. I'm going to fix that too. So he turned around and he jumped her car. He told her, get in my car. Take my car. I'm going to take your car. And I'm gonna drive around. I'm gonna go to your house. All right. I'm gonna go directly to your house. Go directly to your house. I'm gonna drive my car to your house. He says, drive my car to your house. And I'm gonna drive your car around to check your battery. And then I'm gonna go take it and see what's wrong with it. So he drove her car around. He went to it was enough time that he had. He went to an auto store. He got to the auto store. And when he got there, they checked the battery. Battery was a bad battery. It was the wrong battery for her car. She had a smaller battery and she needed a bigger battery. So he put the bigger battery in there. They got the bigger battery, the one that actually fits the car. Got it. He paid for it. Turned around. She was like, you know, she was in awe that she got that done. Yep, that was in awe. So she got that battery done. He got the battery. He pulls up to his house. He switches her car. She says, here you go. He says, I have a question. Who put the battery in your car? She said, I had a really good friend who knew how to work on cars, and he said he gave me this battery for my car. Wrong battery. What do you mean? Wrong battery. Yeah, that's the wrong battery for your car. Your battery takes this kind of battery. I went and switched it and got another one. Oh, yeah. Whoever put that battery in was trying to save you some money, trying to be peachy. I mean, any battery will do, but that battery doesn't fit your car. This is the one that fits your car. And he showed her, lift the hood up. That's what fits your car. And that's why your car was doing what it was doing, the way it was pulling. All that energy and stuff was not good. And he was like, oh, she was like, wow. So I went and got you a new battery. He put the battery in there. He told her, okay, thank you. You have a good one. She was like, oh, thank you. And you're in warranty too. And I made sure everything's clean and corroded and you're good. All right, catch you later. And she left. She drove off and she was going to where she was going. And that's when she realized right there that he, you know, that he really cared about her. You know, well, I mean, he didn't have to buy a new battery, but he did. He didn't have to do none of that stuff, but he did. You know, he didn't have to, but he did. And that really shocked her. You know, that really shocked her, and she was impressive. It impressed her. It really did. It impressed her to the point to where it was something that's good. Yes, it was something that was really, really good. It impressed her so bad, so good, that it was in a good way, not in a bad way. You know, she really was in awe about what happened. She was the kind of person that it made her feel real good. Really good. Yes. It made her feel really good. Yes. And one of the better things that happened in life was, is that everything that they were doing it as far as perspectives. They were living their lives and everything, doing everything separate, but they kept meeting at each other. One of the reasons why that they met was how they got married, and how he proposed to her. He literally, they were going to a private party. What do you call that? He was there because one of his friends invited him. She was there because one of her girlfriends invited her to the party. And she shows up. So she comes in. She shows up to the party. Literally shows up. She literally shows up to the party. And she gets to the party. Yeah, she gets to the party and stuff. And when she gets to the party, you know, everybody at the party, you know, everybody at the party was packed. I mean, it was pretty big. It was a big, huge wedding party. They were at the reception. And they got there to the reception. And when they got there, they were sitting far away from each other. He goes up to get a drink. And some other girls were there, and they were all there and stuff. And he looks over, and he didn't go, oh. He didn't go, hey. He didn't go, oh, there she is. Let me go say hi. Nothing like that. He saw her. He looked at me and said, that looked like who I think it is. So he walks over to her and he goes, hey. She goes, oh, hi. What are you doing? Ah, long time no. Wow. She goes, how are you? She says, oh, I'm good. And he goes, how are you? She says, oh, I'm good. I'm good. And you? He says, me too. I'm good. You're good? Yes, I'm very good. He says, well, good. It's good seeing you. You too. So, you know how they, you know, they throw the, you know, at the end, they were throwing the bouquet. You know how they toss the bouquet? The bride tossed the bouquet. She caught it. She caught the bouquet. And when she caught the bouquet, everybody was like, ooh, you're getting married. She says, here's what she says. She goes, if I'm getting married, who am I marrying? She goes, She goes, who want? She goes just like this. Who wants to marry me? She goes, who would want to marry me? That's what she said. Who would want to marry me? And that's how she put it when she had the bouquet. He turned around. He was walking. As he was walking towards the bathroom, he was taking off his, he was doing something, and he had one of his friends was like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this ring? He says, not bad ring. So what are you going to do with it? Oh, I'm about to go sell it. He said, there was this girl that I was going to propose to. I caught her cheating with one of my boys. And my boy said, she's a skanky hoe and stuff. So, you know, and he had the ring in his hand and he bumped into her because he turned. And the ring went on her finger. He thought he dropped it, so he knelt down and the ring was on her finger. And she looked down and she had the thing in her hand and the bouquet. And all she said was, yes, I'll marry you. Yes. And he goes, huh? And in his head, he's like, well, okay, sure. Let's get married. And then all of a sudden, what just happened? You're getting married. What? That's how they got married. And they don't say it that way, but that's actually how they got married. That's the actual story. They just say that he proposed and stuff. Well, he did. He finally got down on one knee and proposed. That ring, he bought that ring from that guy. He bought it from his friend. He bought it from him. Told how much it was, and he gave him the money, and he bought the ring. Because that was the ring that he gave. That's the ring that was on her finger, and he didn't want to take it off. So they got married. And now they got like 7 kids, and they're living the normal life. The reason why I say that is just that there's someone for everyone out there. Hey, everybody. Everybody, listen up. This is J.R. Bell from I Got Your Six Podcast featuring Red Pill University. The reason why I was telling you that story, because I was telling you about that marriage stuff, is that, like I said, there's someone for everyone out there. And you'll never know until you get out there, all right? So just remember, there's someone for everyone, okay? I'll talk to you later. Catch you in the next Red Pill. I'll catch you next Red Pill podcast, all right?